Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Howdy doody time, folks. I'm here. I'm back. All right, dude. Makes me feel like $1 million. Do you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Even if you don't know why, it's because it's nostalgia time, folks. That's right. We got some of the originators, the ones that made this all happen in the beginning, the boys that came in the beginning with Big Tom. That's right. They're here with us tonight. Oh, my God. This is going down in history, folks. We're here again to tell the story from the beginning. Hello, everybody out there. How is it in Bigfoot land? What a beautiful day out here in California today. Sun shining. No smog in the air. Everybody's dropping dead of this damn virus. But you know what? We're going to get over this. We will make it. Just we'll bounce back like we do all the time, folks. And I'm praying and hoping that you all get safe and locked down and practice your distancing and don't worry about all the bullshit. Make sure that you and your families are safe. That's the main thing, folks. I'm telling you that straight up. And the key to it is, we even got, you know what Father Ray said to me? Brother Tom, can I come on tonight and pray for everybody? I said, well, make sure you pray for your own people, because one of his own nuns that's in his congregation, she got COVID-19. So the key to it is, he wants to come on tonight and pray a little bit for us and be a part of the nostalgic show, because, hey, he was one of the beginning people with us. Yeah, that's for sure. You know what? Without any further ado, because some of them are back east there, you guys all remember a guy named Rex Howdy Shell? Fearless.
We sure do.
Fearless dude, man. Rex Howdy Shell. Only guy I knew that drove 17 hours straight to come up and meet us. Rex, you out there?
I'm here. Hi, Tom.
How are you, son?
Just fine. How are you?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. That's how good I feel. And then knowing that I got you and Roger Peterson on with us, and Father Ray and Doyle and my co-host, wherever he is out there in Arkansas, Rocky. And then we got Ernie up in Washington, if he hasn't made his trek or pilgrimage across the country yet. I'm feeling like $1 million. So the key to it is, everybody that found out that you guys were coming on tonight, they said, Tom, will he tell us the story about how he hooked up with you guys and how he heard about you? I said, listen, nobody knows that story better than him, and he's going to share it with everybody around the globe tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, buckle in, get yourself a good beverage, get you a snack, because we're going to start off with Rex Howdy Shell. He's back east there, you know, and he's still working from home. But it's, what is it, 10 o'clock by you now?
It is, yes, 10 o'clock.
It is, 3 hours difference. All right. So you've got the first 20 minutes, and I want you to tell everybody how it all started. And you know what? I probably remember better than you, because I remember when you started going through the airport and you were listening to our favorite friend on Coast to Coast Radio. Take it from there. Ladies and gentlemen. He's like my son, Rex Howdy Shell. You got the stage. Tell him the story.
That's right. I like to, in those days, I was, whenever I had a, in the car late at night, I'd be listening to George Norrie on Coast to Coast Radio. But that day, I was going to go pick up my wife at LAX Airport. Her plane was late, so I'm sitting there in the parking lot waiting for the plane, and I'm listening to you. And that changed my life. He had you as a guest, and you were trying to capture Bigfoot in Northern California. And you asked for volunteers, and whoever wanted to volunteer could call Java Bob's Bigfoot Deli. So what I did was I thought about it for 2 days and thought, that's amazing. Who would be looking for something like Bigfoot these days? But you intrigued me, and I decided to call, and I somehow connected to Java Bob eventually. Now, I think I had to, I guess he was closed. His deli was closed by then on the weekend, and I had to search your phone number somewhere else online. But I finally got through. Your vice president there called me back, interviewed me, and invited me up.
Okay. How long of a drive was it, by the way?
Oh, I'd say 15 hours or so. I was in Southern California, Los Angeles area, and you were practically at the Oregon border.
That's right. That's right.
A whole hour off the interstate highway.
Exactly. You bet. So, now, here's the interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen. He made this trek, pilgrimage, let's say, okay? All the way down from one border almost up to the other border, and then had to go in off the freeway another hour or so. Happy Camp, California. Happy Camp, California. As soon as you get into Happy Camp, coming in off of Highway 5 there, you see this big statue, sculpture. You remember that?
I remember that.
Okay. How big is it? Tell my audience around the globe how big that statue was.
Oh, it must be over 10 feet tall.
Well, I hope you're not smoking any of that wacky weed or drinking too much of that wine. It had to be at least 30 feet tall, ladies and gentlemen. So it's almost three times what he's saying. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up myself right now. But nevertheless, you came and met us. I saw you for the first time. And then how long before I left and gave you a job to take care of?
Yeah, let's see. I met you that evening, and I think you gave me assignment that evening. So I ended up in that lady's backyard, Tara's backyard, in the tent there. And you gave me a camera and a flashlight.
Yes. Well, tell everybody what happened. We took off.
Well,
remember where we went?
That night, there was not much activity that night. And I went back to Java Bob's house in the morning, and you told me I could, or he told me I could sleep in the camper beside the garage there. So I was going to sleep by day and hunt by night, but I was sleeping, and in the middle of the day, you guys woke me up and said, "We got a hot tip in Nevada, and we got to go, and you're in charge of the operation here in Happy Camp." I haven't even joined the team for less than 24 hours, and I'm already in charge of an investigation there while you guys go on some hotter spot. Maybe.
By the way, you were closer than I was. It's 12 feet tall.
Okay.
It was 12 feet tall, and I'm looking at it right now. Yep, 12 feet tall. All right, so go ahead. And so we took off, and that was the time, ladies and gentlemen, that we had the deal over in Stagecoach, Nevada, that apparently the Indians had one of these things, and they didn't want to see nobody else but us, but me, Bob, and the rest of the team decided to take off. And you're right. We left you there, and you were in charge, and tell us what went on those nights.
Well, let's see. I heard one of the early mornings. I'm here, you know, I'm awake all. Well, let's see. You know what? I got bored, and I did go lay down on the bed that was in the tent. And I was woken up by a big thud. And so I had that experience. But I got bored during the remainder of the week, and I decided to go exploring. I said, I wonder if the Bigfoot's coming up from that hill. And if I went down a quarter mile down the road, there was a road going up into that hill. So I walked up that road, and I saw a trail that went across toward what would be above Tara's house. So I walked that trail, and to my amazement, I saw this big footprint. I said, "No way." And I looked at it, and I stared at it. I looked at it different directions. My gosh, it was the shape of a Bigfoot footprint. And I could not believe what I had found. And I was so excited, I went back down the hill. You were going to be on the George Norrie Coast to Coast AM show 7 days after I heard you. You were going to be there again on a Friday night. And I wanted to tell you before you went on the show so that you would have something to tell George. So I called you up and told you about it.
By the way, do you remember the dimensions of that print?
Gosh, it was big. And some of us surmised that it was you that told me, "Why is it so big? Why is it bigger than all the other ones in the display case?" You said, "Well, it's probably going downhill, which it was. So maybe there was a little slide to it. But it had to have been 18 inches long or something like that."
22 inches.
22, okay.
22 inches, ladies and gentlemen. The largest print we had ever cast, ever. 22 inches. I had nothing to do with it. None of my team members had nothing to do with it, but the rookie who drove 15 to 17 hours continuously all night took it upon himself to go up in that mountain area because he heard some thuds. And I think what he told me was that there was some, he heard like people throwing or something throwing rocks down the hill. And he took it upon himself and he went up there and he saw this print. Oh my God. OMG. Okay. It was phenomenal, ladies and gentlemen. And here is a guy that was heard me on TV, the George and Ori show, coast to coast. And what happened? He was then became, well, he's like my own family now, but he became a member of our team, one of the trustworthiest guys I ever saw in my life. And he's not afraid of the dark like a lot of these baboons are. And how many expeditions did you go on with me?
Oh, gosh, nearly 10, maybe?
Oh, it was more than that.
I don't know if it was that many, but there was a lot of them.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Do you remember some of the areas where we went?
Well, Texas and Arizona and New Mexico and California. I was with TJ once when we went into Oregon. And, oh, yeah, Virginia. I moved over here to New Hampshire, and then you had a hot spot in Virginia, so we went there in 2010. And then in 2016, you went right here in New Hampshire.
That's right.
To investigate a place.
So let me ask you something. People are sitting there probably saying to themselves, holy geez, this guy's been all over the map. Oregon, California, Arizona, Texas, Washington, New Hampshire. What was the most intriguing
Oklahoma,
and most
too.
Interesting expedition you had ever gone on?
I think Paris, Texas is pretty high up there.
Okay, well,
amazing findings there.
Paris is in France, which it's not. It is in Texas, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to run to go get a Coke real quick to the kitchen. So I want you to tell everybody what happened, how many of us were out there, and what transpired in Paris, Texas. Go for it.
Oh, my. Which story do you want me to start with?
The most intriguing one.
So let's see. I got a rusty mind. Let's see. There was the time of the almost tornado. Java Bob and I and Sherman were out, and that was very windy. And I think the tents all fell down, but somebody saw one of the groups saw a face of something on the other side of the lake where they took the boat across. I remember that. And then somebody else, although two ladies that were there with TJ, I believe, and they might have seen actually a creature, something, in the storm, in the rain, but hiding behind a tree, going back and forth. And I was so jealous of those ladies that they got to see something, and I did not get to see anything. I did have a camera out, and I tried to put out a video camera, but I didn't get anything but a park ranger. We went back to that place again, and I believe you were doing some tree knocks, and we got some tree knocks reply to us from across the lake. I remember that part too. And I remember you guys had to leave on a few days later. You guys left, and I was putting away my my camera gear when Mike Sells came by and his wife looking for me. We had never met each other yet because you had just gotten a call from him, and he said, go find me because you guys had already left. And he showed me a footprint. So you wanted me to get the footprint. I saw Rob Shorey, your vice president, make one there in Happy Camp, California. So I kind of remembered what he did, and I cast that footprint. My first casting of a footprint was the second footprint I'd ever seen. So that was kind of interesting. And I think I did a pretty good job for my first try.
Do you remember how many people were with us on that expedition?
Yeah, let's see. There was TJ, and there was a guy from New York.
Just about numbers-wise.
Five or seven extra people.
Yeah.
And then our team members, maybe we had 10.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to see. My memory is better than yours.
Yeah, it probably is.
We were in New Mexico, and we were driving up there past Shipwreck, going up on top of that mountain, when we were actually on almost just two wheels traversing that mountain. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a treacherous road.
And all of a sudden, you said, look here to the right by the ravine. Remember that?
Yeah, I saw something flash through the bushes and trees there. I didn't know what it was.
What did you and I do? We had them stop, and what did you and I do?
We walked backwards. Oh, let's see. I did walk backwards a little bit, and I wanted to walk out toward it, so we walked out toward it a little bit, but I could not find a bush that might have been a flash between bushes as you were driving. I just couldn't find what I had seen before. So, but you came out with me to try to go across the prairie part there.
I was right there with you, son. I remember like it was yesterday.
Yep.
I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the time we're up there in the on the Apache Reservation. In the, what do you call it? The White Mountains or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's White Mountains.
Was that what it was, Roger Dodger? Yeah, there you go. Well,
you
hey.
You betcha.
Yeah. Now, do you remember that night when we were all out? And, my gosh, I'll never forget that. It was up there by Christmas Tree Lake. You remember when the Indians used to say, we go chop wood. We go make wood. And that meant chopping wood, ladies and gentlemen. They were some of the nicest guys in the world. I love those people up there. What was it? Snowflake, Arizona also? I'm trying to remember.
Yes.
This memory. And there was a lot of action up in that area because with the fires, they were coming out of the mountains and they were knocking on people's doors and windows, and the cops were coming out there, and as they're going around the corner, creatures are running alongside. You remember that? They told us the stories?
The stories, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when we got in New Mexico, when we got on top of that mountain, I remember you there because you hiked up where they saw one. You remember that?
Where the what again? Hiked up.
Okay, we were up on top of that mountain. We spent the night because the next day when we woke up, we had snow all over us. Do you remember that?
No. You guys went up there twice, once with me, but the other time was the snow.
Okay, so the time you were there, I remember you hiking up on the face of that mountain.
Yeah, me and TJ went up.
That's right. That's right. And then when you came back and we went to the right, what did we find?
TJ, when we were on the mountain, surveyed the whole area down where you guys were and beyond, and he says... And he said to himself that he wanted to go to a particular place because he thought it was promising that a big creature might want to hide through that area. So we went down, and he went to that area to see, and I believe, if I remember right, there were A few footprints or just one?
No, there were six of them. You're exactly right.
Six. There was
wow.
a few. Okay.
Good memory, dude. Good memory. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You got a good hunter there. TJ was a pretty good investigator.
Well, you know, in the beginning when he got into this, he thought the whole thing was hogwash. And then when he had his first sighting there at Lamar Point.
Right.
That's when he came up to me and he apologized to me and he says, "Hey, Dad, you got me
yeah,
for life."
I remember he said he grew up not believing you.
Yes, yes.
And being
ashamed
of being associated with you. And now it's true. And from his perspective, it was true.
Well, you know, those of you who've all seen Bigfoot Lives, that guy Bob from the ex-Navy SEAL, actually, they're never an ex-Navy SEAL, but he was a reporter for NBC or ABC, whichever.
ABC, I think.
ABC. Were you there when he was there?
No, I missed that.
Okay, so he came out in front of his own camera, ladies and gentlemen. Went in front of his own camera. He came out. He was the biggest Doubting Thomas in the world. And what he saw and what he heard, he was miffed. He says, "Oh,
but
my God." He thought in this time of day, with all the fandangle new equipment we had and everything, he'd find something like this. But he saw something very big and moved very fast. He saw a bevy of prints like there was no tomorrow. And where the shells of clams, where these creatures actually cracked them open and were eating them. He became a...
Yeah, he also told you guys that he had soiled himself and had to go change.
Yes, yeah. Roger, you're so right.
You didn't say that
gentlemen,
on camera.
This is Roger Peterson. He's joining us right now. And I've got to tell you, this is the man that virtually made a good part of Bigfoot Lives, made it an award winner, and let me tell you why. The sincerity that came from this man when he tells the story on when he had the encounter and what he had to do to save his family, we had more people write to us, more people contact us via electronic media, whatever we had back then. And what year was that, Roger? 2004?
I think that was 2001, or I believe 2001.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, 19 years ago, okay? He was one of the beginnings. When you see in that movie, you see the petroglyphs? You see what went on back in them days with the Indians? Well, this is the man. Now, how many expeditions you go on with us?
Me?
Yeah, you.
God, I've been on like six or seven.
Six or seven. How many times
yeah.
did How many times did Rex Howdy Shell come out and pick you up personally?
About four times.
You bet. You bet. This is going down memory lane, folks. This is memory lane. Now, everybody wants to know. Was if you own a copy of Bigfoot Lives, or if you've seen Bigfoot Lives, this is the man, Roger Peterson, who had the encounter when he had his family out there in the water, in the wilds. You got the stage, son. Tell everybody.
Well, you know, I had had my encounter, and nobody would believe me. They were scorning me and throwing rocks at me and any other thing they could do until I got a hold of you, Tom. And you were just coming back from New York with the guy with the gator. Remember?
Yeah.
And you told me, you said, "Hey," he said, "you meet me here at 10:30. He said, "You said I will be there," and so me and my friend Randy, we jumped in his van and went up, and sure enough, there you were. We had to sit and wait for the the camera guy to show up, Scott Davis, I think his name was.
Yep.
And I had sat there and I was talking to you and Bob and Miller or something like that, the other guy. And it was really heart-wrenching because what we went through that night was unbelievable. I mean, we were set back, settled in, and I found this place in the rocks that was kind of like an easy chair, you know? So I laid back in it, and I was fishing, and all of a sudden, there's this big moon, and everything goes dark. And I looked up over my head, and there was a female Bigfoot, okay? And she just stood there looking at me, frozen like a tree, you know? And I said, oh, great, that's all I need, a Bigfoot, you know? I didn't believe what I was seeing. And I rolled over out of the easy spot, grabbed my rifle, and she was gone. She went down behind us. And when she went down, this big, huge, 9.5-foot tall creature come right at us. And I was the only one out there with a gun. Everybody else were supposed to have one, and they didn't. So I was the point guy, you know. And I stand there facing this creature off, and I mean, this thing had shoulders that was over 4 foot wide. And I know that it was over 9.5 feet because I'd been in that very water and it came up to my chin, you know, stretching to keep it from going under. And he sat there watching us. And the only thing that was holding him back, Tom, was our Coleman lantern. We found out real quick because the Coleman lantern started to run out of fuel, so the others made a bucket brigade, you know, to one hold it, one do this, one do the other. And we had a fire that we built up over 8 feet in the air. And when that Coleman lantern went out, he charged. Okay? I was dumping shells from my little 20 gauge over his head, and it didn't faze him. He kept coming. So finally, I just drew down in the middle of his chest and I fired. And when I did, with his right arm, he grabbed his chest and he was looking at me and he turned towards the cliff that was there, then back to me. And from there, he turned full body turn, you know, every time. And he took off and gone like a light. I mean, he cut through over 70 feet across of that water. He cut through it like it was nothing. And we were just about till daylight at that time. And we were all thinking, well, he's going to be waiting for us where we came in on the trail, you know. And we figured that would be the worst spot. So what we did, we went right down the spillway. Right down the middle of it. And as we were coming out, there were these two special forces guys with the what do you call it, the parks and recreation, you know? And they looked at us and they said, well, at least one of them had a gun, you know? And we're like, yeah, right. Well, you don't know what's down there. And after that, we heard that one of those officers had been attacked. And they tried to pass it off as a mountain lion. But it was not no mountain lion, you know. I know that for sure. And that was on May the 15th of 1987. And then after that, I mean, you come down there so quick, and you were right there, and I showed you and Bob and them the rock paintings that were there that they call petroglyphs.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Rex forgot about something. When they had the storm, I was out there too, and I wound up out in the middle of the lake.
Oh, that's right. Your tent and all. Here's one thing I remember, and I bet that both of you guys forgot. We were going back out to Texas, and he was coming to get you, and then you guys were going down some freeway that wasn't far from Lamar Point. And one of you guys had seen one of the creatures cross the freeway or something.
Yeah, well, that's when we first came before you guys got there. And we were down on I-30 going across, like going into Hugo, Oklahoma. And we turned down in and went over to the old place where TJ launched the boat from. Okay? And as we were coming down through there, I was eyeballs to the wall, you know, and had this creature come right straight across the road right in front of us. And I told Rex, I said, "Rex, didn't you see that?" And he says, "Yeah, I thought I did," you know. And we got off and parked, and we went down in after it. And the funny thing of it was we showed on the video where we had it. It was back behind the tree. And that thing made a quick turn, and it just disappeared. And now I know, I found out through a lot of research, that they have what they call a translucent hair on their body that covers the whole outside of their body. And it makes like a magical switch where they're just gone, you know? But, I remember that. I remember that.
All right, now I'm going to test your memory. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we're out there, and no matter whether it's Texas, Oregon, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, New York, anywhere, Montana, the press loves to follow Tom Biscardi and his crew.
They sure did.
We're out there. Of course, we're on the front pages of the newspaper, and then we're on the news, on the TV news every night. So I said, "Come on, boys, let's go get us something to eat." And that was that afternoon. I forget which fast food it was, whether it was a Wendy's or
Arby's.
And Arby's, there you go. And oh
yep,
my
it
God,
it was Arby's, and
Roger
y'all had gone in before I got in there.
And
then when I came through the door, all these young women were all over me.
Oh, God. And he became a movie star, okay?
Yep. I became RPM.
That's RPM, they called him. That's right. You better.
You bet. Yep. They called me Roger the Pussy Magnet.
That's the truth. And I'll be telling you something, ladies and gentlemen. That night we went into a dinner house, and oh my God, where they had people drinking and dancing and what have you, and they all came up to him, loving him up like crazy. And then he says, "Well, who are you?" So he opens up his coat and he says, "That's who we are," and shows him.
Yes,
you know,
I said, "That's who we are." Yeah, I had my Bigfoot shirt on.
Oh,
I sure did.
And, you know, I guess that was, what, 15 years ago?
Pretty close.
Oh, man.
Yep, it was about 15 years ago, Tom.
You know, and those are times that will go down in history for all of us. And
we had that on the pilot, remember?
In the movie.
We had that on the pilot.
That's right. Oh, you remember
that
the
Strange
pilot?
Days.
Yes.
That was the name of it, Strange Days.
That's right.
And we had that, and we also had that encounter. You and I were there with the big huge floodlights, and the lady reporter back behind us, and we had this thumping that was going on in the water. And every time it was like saying, "This is who's there," which we later found out it was a beaver doing it, warning them.
Oh,
and
you
when
remember
we hit
that?
The third thud, we hit that big spotlight and we saw that creature across the creek, remember?
Oh my God, yeah. But there was about 25 of us out there that night, wasn't there?
Yes, there sure was. And that lady
had,
that lady
reporter,
she screamed.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Yeah, she screamed cuz she saw it too. You know? And then it was oh, what's his name? George was one of them, and that bald-headed guy. They took off after it.
Yeah, we don't like to mention the bald-headed guy. That's
We know who, but we don't have to say.
That's right.
But they took off after him after that, and we were having a heck of a time getting that lady calmed down.
Oh boy!
I mean, at first when she was there with us, she was like Johnny Skeptic. Oh, there ain't nothing out here. Blah blah blah. And I don't know. Was that at Lamar Point?
It was. It sure as hell was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So let
I
me
thought
ask
so.
You a question. What was your most compelling and exciting Bigfoot hunt?
The most compelling?
Yes.
Oh, let me see. Let me think. The most exciting one that I remember was when we had Andrew Vanor,
oh,
and we were using him as and calling him bait.
You remember?
Remember we had Chief Dan and a couple of other guys, and we were out there just waiting to see what was going to come around. And that night, he didn't realize it, but a mother and a baby walked right out in front of him. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yep, they had those footprints there that we tried to cast, but with the rain, we couldn't really pick them up out of the ground.
Now, there's two
and
times that I remember, Andrew. I remember him when we were in New York shooting that pilot.
Yep.
Okay, and then the other one was where? In Texas?
Yes, in Paris, Texas.
Is he still
and,
alive?
And we had those guys, the Texas Bigfoot hunters with us,
yeah,
that were out
oh
there thinking
God.
They were big, all high and mighties, remember?
Oh, yeah. Their leader was called the Monkey Man.
Yep.
Oh,
you
my.
Got it.
You got it.
You got it. That's the guys.
Yeah, that was, I got to tell you, that skipped my memory there for a minute, but as soon as you said it, wow. Well, you know, we also have on the show is Father Ray, and he was out there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, wait a minute. Father Ray, you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
Does any of this bring back memories?
Oh, I have been to Lamar Point. I was there. I don't know if it was that particular expedition.
That was when we were in that preacher's backyard.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. You know what he's talking about, Ray?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Oh,
that
what
I,
was his
okay.
name? Oh,
ooh,
gosh.
I remember the woman of the house, I presume his wife, made breakfast.
Yes, she did. Good-looking girl. And then they finally got divorced.
Lance.
Right
Lance.
After we were there, she left him.
That was it, Lance. Oh, my.
And Bruce Shipp was there to clear away snakes.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Snake man. Yeah, he was there. He was clearing more than snakes, I'll tell you.
Yes, he was.
But I got – oh, see, you're bringing back memories now. So, and there was a woman with Bruce Shoup that he used to call his aunt. We found out that that was his girlfriend.
Joanne.
Oh. Joanne. Okay.
That's it.
Yes.
You remember, because didn't they give you a ride back somewhere or something?
They gave me a ride back to Tyler, Texas.
That's right. So, tell everybody, what was your most compelling expedition
oh.
that had been on with us?
Well, my most compelling was in with the at the White Mountain Apaches, the White Mountain Apache Reservation, and we went out. You did not come with us. You stayed in the motel room at the Honda Lodge. But we went out. I don't know. There were several of us. It was dark. We were in a kind of a field area. There was a stream that that was going to the west of us, and then there was a cliff, or at least a mountain to the east. And it was dark. I remember I lost my cell phone that night. But we thought there was something there up against the mountain. Was it a Bigfoot? I don't know. We all stood there transfixed for I don't know how long, maybe 40 minutes, 50 minutes or now, looking into the door, of the face of this mountain, this cliff, and maybe there were eyes looking back at us, but we did not move for about 40, and then slowly we did move off to the south where the vehicles were parked and got in the vehicles and came back to the Honda. That was my most compelling one.
Okay. So, you do remember Paris, Texas and Lamar Point?
I do.
Okay. When the time you were there, how many of us were there?
Oh, lots. I think, Dave Ortiz came and picked me up from Tyler, Texas. He came, picked me up to bring me to Paris, to Lamar Point. JC, I think he was there.
Yes, he was.
Java Bob.
Java Bob was there, yeah. And then Chuck Creel and the guys from Alabama, they were all there. You're exactly right. I remember. Let's reflect just for a minute. I met you in Farmington, New Mexico.
Correct.
I remember meeting Sarge and all those other people. And I remember us going out when there was snow on the ground, and we went with the chief's daughter's farm area where there was a sighting. Remember who I'm talking about?
I do. Chief Dan. And
Chief
his,
Dan, yes.
Chief
now,
Dan.
That was exciting. I also was exciting when we was that river area.
Oh, yes. That's San Juan River. J.C. Johnson was there. Yes.
Yes, he was. Then we went out to the ranch of Brenda Harris.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
And she was on Zach Higgins' show, the Ghost Hunter guy. And the same thing that she showed us on film, he said, was a demon coming out of the ground. We saw it on film, and then they showed it on their show. It was pretty compelling, and I don't know if any of you people had seen any of that, but it blew me away. Did you like any of that stuff we saw in New Mexico? Was that more compelling than Arizona or anywhere else? Or Texas?
I remember in New Mexico on another trip that you made, and you were on top of a hill overlooking the confluence of the La Plata River into the San Juan River, and we were up there. It was evening. You stayed in the Travel Inn. TJ was with you, another man, and watching this area where the La Plata comes into the San Juan, and we're up on top of a hill. You were there for like a weekend or so, and I I don't think we saw the creature at that on that expedition. I didn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. Not every expedition is a fruitful one where we get to see a creature or see prints, okay? But I'll tell you what, by the time I get there, if there is anything in that area, we will flush it out and we will see it. And everybody who's out there with us will see what we see. And that's a fact.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
Do you remember that year that we were out there and we had that tornado hit right over the top of us, remember?
You know what?
All of our cameras and phones got wet.
Yeah, and that's when.
And
what was
that guy's
name? The doctor, Ron Milioni?
Yeah,
right.
Something like that.
You remember
that, Rex?
Yes, I remember
right after that, right after that, Tom, I sent you a picture that I happened to get. If you remember now, it had the mother Bigfoot as she was suckling her baby.
That's correct. And I do remember.
You remember that?
I do. Okay. But here's the thing that blows my mind, Roger.
Yeah?
Not many people have encountered what you and I have encountered. Not many people have encountered what Rocky and I have encountered.
Right.
There's people talk stories, but not many people experience their stories and walk the walk, if you understand what
I'm
talking
about.
That's right. Okay?
You bet.
You know, Rocky, are you out there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, how are you, first of all?
I'm well.
Isn't this amazing? Are we going back in history and time?
Wow.
Yeah, 18, 19 years. And this
you
is
bet.
Where I met you, Rocky. And
that's
these are some of the
time.
Stories of these guys who formed my company, who was with us, and they were in the movie. Is Ernie, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, son?
Oh, man, I'm keeping busy, but I'm just waiting till this virus thing is over so I can take off.
Yeah, I know. You're staying in place right now, and everybody'd like to take off, but they can't. And there's so many people that have this cabin fever. By the way, Rocky, how's Swede?
He's doing so much better. It's one of those things trying to keep him off the tractor. Keep him from doing all the stuff that he does. You just got to knock him in the head and tie him up.
Yeah. did they shut your pizza place down?
No. No, we've been pretty busy. It's all carry out. But we're doing well.
Oh, okay. So it's takeout only, right?
Yep.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear it. And Doyle, are you out there? Well, I guess Doyle isn't with us tonight. Well, you're there in spirit and memory, son, believe me. But I got to tell you something. This has been down a road of memories here that just, I'm just sitting here amazed, okay? And to see where your lives have gone. Okay. Look, Roger, tell everybody how you went from near broke to where you are today of the owner of the park, and you're flourishing and you're full to capacity and you're making money. And why do you think that is?
Well, a lot of it is because when I was out there and met you out in Gila Bend, it gave me a lot of confidence, Tom.
Thank you for that.
You know, I felt like I could go out and I could do it, especially when Rex and I got together as tent buddies and everything, and we had all the niceties of home. But a lot of it has been being out on expeditions with you, Tom.
Thank you for that.
You know, and then from there, I just I worked at what I was doing as a manager, and from there I went to being buying the park for myself.
And ladies and gentlemen, I can attest to that. He's done a hell of a job. He's built that place up from nothing to where he is today, and he's got a fine bride, woman that has just been by his side now. How many years?
We've been together for over 12 years now.
12 years. Wow.
Yep.
She's still just as great of a cook. I can attest to that. You bet I can. All right. Yeah. And Rex, tell everybody where you started from and out there in Lancaster, California, and where you're at.
That was in Lancaster, California, when I drove up to you and to Happy Camp the first time in 2005. Now I'm in New Hampshire because of a job change. And I love it here in the forest of New Hampshire. It's fun.
You like the change in weather?
Well, you know, they got five-month winters here in northern New England. But the summers are good because they got 5 months of green. So you have 5 months of white snow and then 5 months of green. California, you know, you get 1 month of green and 4 months of brown in the summer. So I love living in the land of forest and rivers now.
Yeah, right.
But we don't like the snow too much. It's a lot of work for 5 months.
Yeah. I can attest to that myself, yeah. So, and Father Ray, you've been all over the map and all over New Mexico. What part of New Mexico do you like the best?
Oh, my. I like Gallup. Gallup is amazing. It's the Indian capital of the world. As far as Bigfoot activity, Dave Ortiz, Farmington is supposed to have, he says there are Bigfoot who live year round in the San Juan Valley. There's water, there's food, and that's amazing. Also, there's a lot of history. I go around. And I see places that are significant to church history and to civil history, to the history of the state, often one and the same. The Rio Grande Valley. It's rife with history. The prehistory of the Puebloan people, the pre-Puebloan people, Jemez Springs, the Jemez Mountains, Santa Fe, Albuquerque.
So what Indians are you talking about? The Navajo?
Oh no! Now there's the Puebloans, people who are from Gallup? The Zunis are Puebloan, and they're to the south.
The Zunis are famous for the turquoise, right?
Oh yes, they're famous for the turquoise. But now the Navajos and the Apaches, they're cousins to each other. They're Athabascan people. They're relative newcomers to the area. But you have the Puebloan people, and they've been here for 5,000 years.
Wow.
The Zunis, the Acamas, the Lagunas, the Hopis in Arizona, the Puebloans of the Rio Grande Valley. What a history of that.
And you know what? There's only one person that I know that can tell that history. It's yourself. You know, I got to tell you, I'm looking at the old clock on the wall, and I just can't believe it that an hour has gone by this quick, ladies and gentlemen. But
sure,
you know what?
Fun.
They say it's for one reason. It's because you're having fun, and you're there with good old friends, especially in these terrible times that this world is going through. But you know what? Like I said at the top of the show, we'll get through this too by the grace of God. Let us go out with a quick prayer. And lead us in prayer real quick, Father Ray. You got 30 seconds.
God our Father, be with us. Be with our family, which is the Bigfoot Expedition family. Direct our leader, Tom. Keep him safe spiritually and physically. Direct, be with our families. Keep everyone and our loved ones, keep them all safe. Help us, Lord. Help our leaders guide us in these days as to how best to live these days and know that you are with us with all these things. And we make this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Salutations. Thank you from all around the world. Roger, Rex, Father Ray, Ernie, my sidekick, Rocky, Swede, we love you, and we're sorry, Darl, you weren't with us tonight. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions.